This is my fifth, can you believe it, annual meeting as rector of Episcopal Church of the Transfiguration. I know some of you are as shocked as I am to say that. And I am every bit as grateful now as I was in that first one, though it seems like just it was a second ago. I continue to be tremendously thankful for the people with whom I work every day. The staff of this church are deeply, truly a privilege to work with, and they are all dedicated to serving you and helping all of us as a community live more faithfully. This past year, we experienced another year of significant transition on our staff team, so I want to acknowledge some of the comings and goings. Last February, you may recall, we celebrated the retirement of Ellen Dingwall, and then later in the spring, in May, Mother Erin Ward left us to become rector of a church in Ada, Oklahoma. And then that same May, Deacon Shay Gilliland and his wife Summer ended a lengthy period of discernment when they came to the realization that they were to become Roman Catholic. And so Shay resigned from his position here. Also in the spring, around that same time, our director of communications, Rebecca Jingles, gave birth to a healthy second child and was on maternity leave. And so we were a little bit scrambling last spring. During the time of all those transitions and leave, I heard from many of you that you were praying for us as we were undergoing all that tumult. Some of you even helped to plug in some of the gaps that were created by the departures in those spaces in between. And I want to tell you that I think I made it through that time because of your love and your prayers. So I am tremendously thankful for that. It was not an easy spring. Eventually, we were able to reconstitute the staff, and I give great thanks to God for the new servants who have come on board at Transfiguration. Mother Rebecca Tankersley arrived in May as associate rector. Pastor Nancy DeStefano also arrived around that same time to serve as pastoral assistant. Ann Schmidt was hired in late summer to serve as our director of evangelism and welcoming ministries. And Alex Cavanaugh also began in August as our director of youth ministries. And then in addition, as a sweet cherry on top, professor of organ at SMU, Stefan Ingalls, accepted an invitation from Joel to serve as a year-long artist in residence and essentially function as our assistant organist. And we have recently been overjoyed to learn that he will be able to extend that, and the term of that will be open-ended. It won't end in the summer, but he will stay with us beyond. So we rejoice in all these wonderful new people who are now a part of our team, and I hope that you also are thankful for their presence among us. Meanwhile, Megan, Cindy, Rebecca, Jenny, Joel, Kim, Chris, Joseph, Sophie, Mary, and Bracken all continued on, carrying on the good work that they do each and every day, striving to serve you, and I give great thanks for them as well. There are so many ministry groups that I want to thank today, more than I could ever possibly mention in this address. Last year, I was bursting to pride many times at the things that you were doing. So many times through the course of the year, it was an amazing thing to behold, to see what you were up to and all the remarkable ways that you were seeking and serving Christ. So I want to invite you. Our click-through rate on the annual report last year was so-so. I would like to think that you will click through and actually read some of the things in the annual report talking about all of the work of our ministries. Or you are welcome to pick up printed copies. We have about 30 or 40 available, and you're welcome to take one home. And I hope that you will. Outreach and formation, worship and pastoral care, fellowship and fundraising, and so, so much more all last year. I must, though, express special gratitude for the once-in-a-lifetime celebration that we shared here last weekend. For the first time in the history of Dallas, in the history of the Diocese of Dallas, faithful same-sex couples were able to stand in their own church, declare the vows of their own marriages, and receive the blessing of God pronounced by their own clergy. I hope that you continue to feel grateful for that day, a day that Bishop Gene Robinson in his sermon characterized as nothing less than miraculous. And I hope it serves as a sacred reminder that Dr. King was right. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it does eventually bend toward justice. I want you to know how grateful I am for the privilege of helping guide and nudge along all the ecclesiastical politics that were a part of that for, lo, those several years that resulted in that newly granted ability. I may have been just innocent or naive enough to truly believe that the Episcopal Church would eventually do the right thing if all of the leaders of the Episcopal Church, both bishops, priests, deacons, and laypeople, were reminded that some people had been left out when marriage equality was overwhelmingly approved by General Convention in 2015. Which is why I am proud of the solution, though it is imperfect, that has been provided by Resolution B-12. And though it is imperfect, I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful that Bishop Sumner was true to his word and has indeed provided us with an assisting bishop to oversee and support us. Those of us who pay attention to Episcopal news know that there was no guarantee in that, as other dioceses have taken a different course. And who would have ever thought at Transfiguration that a bishop's visit would be the source of so much joy as when Wayne Smith came here 2 weeks ago? I mean, I can't even think of the last time that a bishop's visit would have cultivated so much raw joy as it did that day. In the meantime, we will keep praying for George Sumner as our bishop. And he will be invited here to preach and teach sometime this year as we hold fast to the bonds of Christian unity and seek to model to a conflicted world that there is a different and better way to live than always turning the people with whom we disagree about certain matters into our enemies. But the truth is that none of it would have been possible, none of it. The advocacy at General Convention, the dialogue seeking a solution with Bishop Sumner, and certainly the marriage celebration that we were able to experience last weekend, none of it would have been possible had this church not solidified its identity and mission several decades ago. I have had it very easy. There have been no backroom plots to oust me as rector, no contentious congregational forums, no bitter debates about pictorial directories, no public threats to remove their pledges, no insidious gossip about my character or integrity or my family, and certainly there have been no threats to my life. And yet, lest we forget, that is exactly the road that my predecessors walked here at Transfiguration as they led this church through the most pivotal years that forged the metal of this congregation. Fathers Roper and Godwin helped us to cross this threshold. It was their strength. I'm looking for either of them and hoping they are here. It was their strength and their faith and their courage that made all of this possible. Our ability to marry all of the members of our church is really only the latest iteration in the long line of manifestations of our commitment to holding our arms out as wide as the embrace of Christ, to really committing ourselves to seeking and serving Him in all persons. This is just the latest thing, and I'm curious to see what God calls us to next. Oh, I'm behind. Oh, I had all these good pictures. That's a good one. There we go. We are now 2 years into our five-year strategic vision, passed by a couple of vestries ago, but still guiding us through a five-year process. And the vestry remains doggedly committed and focused on the pursuit of these goals. Some of them have already been attained and feel like distant history, while others still very much remain ahead of us. In 2018, the vestry chose to pursue a subset of the original 40-odd goals that were a part of that original strategic vision. And the intention was to focus specific energy on this subset of goals, these goal clusters in 2018, in hopes that that concerted effort would expedite their fulfillment. So let me tell you about how we did in 2018 around these goal clusters. Stewardship. In 2018, the vestry desired to grow the volume of pledging households, as well as the total amount pledged. This remains an elusive goal. In the fall, we conducted our Building a Longer Table campaign, which was an effort to sort of playfully connect the need for funds here at Transfiguration with our mission to show the love of God to ever more and more people. Each week, you may recall, a table getting longer and longer in the hallway until we finally spilled out the doors and shared in a glorious fig fest on a beautiful fall afternoon with a 120-plus foot-long table. It is really something remarkable. And thanks to now former member, because they moved to Colorado, artist Rob Polivka, for the creation of that piece, and I hope that you all received one in the mail in gratitude for your pledges of support. And then a photo of that delightful table. The evidence suggests that this vision was compelling to many of you, as both our mean and our median pledge both rose significantly. And this is not due to just one or two large pledges. We are actually less reliant than ever, than any time, certainly in my tenure, on those largest subset of pledges, that, say, largest 15 pledges, because we have seen remarkable growth in the generosity of our core pledge base, all those households, all of you who give between, say, $2,000 and $10,000. The growth we've experienced in the last several years is remarkable. Nevertheless, despite all of this expanded generosity, despite all of the work you are doing, the overall pledge amount is roughly the same as it was last year and even modestly down from 2 years ago. And this is due, as you no doubt see in the top row, to the loss of a total of 128 commitments of households that pledged either in 2017 or 2018, but have not yet chosen to pledge for 2019. We backfill a number of those with new pledging units, people who are new to the life of the church. But those who are coming who are new or pledging for the first time have not been able to keep up with those who have discontinued giving altogether. And you'll see that is not a great trend. We have work to do to boost the total of pledging households because we are treading water on the revenue side of the budget, as you will hear from Bob Button, every single year. We're just treading water, even as expenses don't. Basic expenses to do the exact same things, to maintain the exact same staff profile and the exact same building campus and operations, those don't stay the same, as you know. So we have work to do. In 2018, we desired to improve our systems for connecting newcomers with ministries and fellowship to help them plant roots stronger and faster, and to also help our existing members to know how to get more involved in terms of leadership. And we're going about this goal in three ways. First, we launched Realm last summer, which has tools to help us all better connect with one another and better organize all of our administrative processes for welcoming newcomers. If you are not yet using Realm, either online or using the app, please get in touch with Sophie Lawrence or Megan Mazur, who would gladly help you do so. Do not be afraid of new technology. We will help you utilize it because I promise it is useful. it is helpful for you and not just for us. Oop, not there yet. Second, in August, we hired Ann Schmidt as Director of Evangelism and Welcoming Ministries, and she has been so sharp focused on helping us welcome newcomers and connect them with the community. And she's also working on ways to help us all get better at inviting people to visit, something all of us need to do more often. As nice as it is to appear in the Dallas Morning News on occasion, and as much as we are investing in our digital presence, the truth is that the great majority of people who visit Transfiguration do so because they were invited by someone who's already a member. I know we want it to be something that social media is going to take care of, or our website is going to take care of, or the newspaper is going to take care of, but y'all, it's not. It's going to be you who decide that what you experience here is so special and important that you want others in your life to know what to know it and to feel it too. We're going to try another Bring a Friend to Church Sunday later this year, but you don't have to wait for then to bring a friend to church. Third, the vestry is focused on communicating more clearly all the ways that you can mature into different forms of leadership. And they're spending much more time than ever before trying to help get folks into forms of service to support our mission and develop their own knowledge and tools. We're holding meetings regularly. We're trying to communicate through the notices and the e-news regularly so that you, if you are feeling called into something new, into a form of leadership, that you would know how. Space utilization. In 2018, we desired to evaluate how our campus is used to guide us in discernment for how best to update, repair, and improve it for future needs. This work has been facilitated largely by our Capital Discernment Committee, which is chaired by Matt Feckel and comprised by the members you see here listed. Last year, they performed two surveys, first with the Parish Council, which is a body of representatives from our 40-odd core ministries here at the church. And then we broadened the survey, we broadened the investigation process, and opened up the survey to the whole church. We wound up hearing from a little over 150 of you in a broader survey about how you perceive the use of the campus and what you perceive to be its most important spaces and greatest and most urgent needs. In 2 weeks, Matt and members of the committee will present an extensive report of this year-and-a-half-long process to the vestry at its annual retreat. And we, together, will work to plot a course forward. We know already, and hopefully you know by now, as we've had a couple of presentations, that there are several million dollars of capital maintenance, several million dollars worth of capital maintenance needed on our 60,000-plus square feet of exclusively church-occupied buildings. And much of that is growing more and more urgent every day. Some of it is already outdated. We needed to do it last year. We also know that funding capital maintenance from the operations budget just gets harder and harder every single year. And so a special reserved fund for capital needs would alleviate our annual anxiety as a vestry to figure out how to properly fund this, fund all of it for our campus, and to do it appropriately. It's important, though, that you hear what I'm saying today, that this has the potential to go beyond mere repairs. Survey respondents have been extremely clear about the needs of two particular spaces, among others, those being Roper Hall and its kitchen, and our sacristy, that they are urgently in need of improvement. And we also, as a church, continue to carefully preserve the gifts that have been given in recent years for the purpose of building a new chapel. So I hope that you will pray for the vestry as we carry on this work of discernment. I also hope that as you see these people or see any members of the vestry who will be standing up here shortly, that you seek them out if you have questions or curiosity or want to know more yourself. pastoral care. In 2018, we desired to strengthen all the ways that we provide pastoral care. And I'm thankful for the Pastoral Care Summit, is what we nicknamed it, that we conducted this past November, when we gathered together representatives of all of the various ministries in our church that perform or conduct or participate in the deployment of our pastoral care here. We sought them out to gather together to listen, to hear about what's happening already, what's working, and where we could strive to improve. Furthermore, beyond that, and it was an enormously productive day of learning and listening and sharing, the left hand was really learning that day what the right hand has been up to and vice versa. And beyond that, the hire of Pastor Nancy DeStefano this past year bolstered our staff footprint for pastoral care, as she is available every week for private pastoral counseling. She facilitates now our grief group. She guides our second half ministry, and is just a wonderful asset. So those are our goals. Those were our goals for 2018, and you can see that we succeeded in many ways, and there is work left to do. There's always work left to do, isn't there? I want to conclude with just a brief reflection on the wider climate of our society. The anxiety that afflicts our nation and our world remains. And so, then, must our commitment to the peaceful and loving way of Jesus as the one true path to health and wholeness. We will not ride out this extended strange news cycle by avoiding conflict or anything that smacks of politics. We will not avoid the pain of these days by staying just comfortably on the surface of things and obsessively always just being nice. That's a good thing to do, but it won't get us through. Rather, we will manifest the full stature of Christ only by going deeper. Deeper into the heart and mystery of God. Deeper in our reading of the Gospels and our meditation on what they're saying to us. Deeper in our daily and weekly prayer lives. Deeper in our relationships with one another, and not simply the people we already know, but also the people we don't know. Deeper in our efforts to love our neighbors and our so-called enemies alike. Deeper all the time as followers of the Deep One, in whom all things are held together. It has always been my hope as your rector to be an agent for this sort of going deeper, because I know that even when the surface of the waters churns and boils, there is below that surface a holy calm where we may be still and know the Lord. So I pray that 2019 is a year in which you feel like your life and faith are growing, a year that will be filled for you with holiness and joy, even if the circumstances aren't always easy, a year in which we don't simply pat ourselves on the back for things we've done well or right, accomplishments of the past. I also hope that we don't simply get bogged down in the cynicism and rancor of our society, but that we remain as committed as ever to seeking and serving Christ in every last person. Thank you.